Welcome to Novo Ed Talks, where we reveal real-world strategies and expert insights from learning and development professionals. In every episode, we chat with practitioners, course designers, learning strategists, and business leads. We hear about their experiences in the learning industry and predictions for the profession and the trends that they're seeing. But before we get started, a little bit about Novo Ed. Founded at Stanford's Social Algorithms Lab in 2012, Novo Ed is a people-centric, capability-building platform that combines social and collaborative learning to drive performance readiness at scale. Through cohort-based experiences centered around human interaction, Novo Ed taps into collective wisdom, placing each learner at the center of perspective, application, and expertise. Large enterprises such as 3M, GE, Marriott International, and Nestle partner with Novo Ed to accelerate their critical initiatives, reconnect teams, and achieve rapid alignment through learning that is felt, experienced, and swiftly transformed into impact. Now, let's meet our guest for today's episode.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Novo Ed Talks podcast, a space for training trailblazers to get real. My name is Melissa Fisk. I am your host today, and I am also the producer of the Novo Ed Talks podcast. And today, I am joined by Mark Keane, who is a field service training manager at the Whirlpool Corporation. Mark Keane has worked at Whirlpool since 2008. His previous roles include technical trainer, district service manager, and sales development representative. Mark has a lifelong background in the appliance industry, having grown up in a family-owned appliance business. With a passion for training, Mark originally pursued a career as a math teacher, and then he found his calling at Whirlpool, where he teaches technicians about the technical aspects of appliances, bringing innovative adult learning techniques to the industry. Mark, it is such a pleasure to have you here today.
Oh, well, thank you. That sounds very official.
Well, why don't you start by introducing yourself and your role in your company?
Oh, thanks. All right. Well, as you said, I'm Mark Keane and work at Whirlpool Corporation as a field service training manager. I lead a team of trainers that travel around the country working within our field service organization. So my learners are the actual technicians in the field or the people that you call to work on your washer, dryer, range, refrigerator, whenever it breaks. We go around and we train them how to do that.
That's awesome. Super important people. I know because my washer and dryer recently broke and I have two kids and that was kind of a disaster.
I know somebody.
Why don't you speak a little bit about some of what their biggest challenges might be?
Yeah. So our biggest challenge for our team is to make sure that they have all the necessary technical information that they need at the right time, you know, preferably before they see it in the customer's home, and make sure that, you know, whatever is going on with their appliance is fixed correctly, efficiently, with as little inconvenience to the customer as possible. It's quicker pace than what you would think, but a lot of fun at the same time.
Yeah, I bet. I can only imagine. I mean, I look at our washer and dryer and I'm like, I don't know
how it fixes that. Sometimes intimidating. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like there's a lot to learn there. How do you kind of approach some of those challenges? You know, obviously the very technical aspect of it and then also just being so fast paced.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of difficult at sometimes, but we focused on a couple of different things. And I've listened to more than a few of the episodes in the series. So I can absolutely relate to a lot of the challenges that they were talking about. But in my experience, I think the biggest challenge that we face in our industry is how we train our customers. With the intro, you found out that I sort of grew up in the appliance industry working for mom and dad. So I was exposed to a lot of training from a lot of different manufacturers. Sales training is always very energetic and entertaining. So you gravitate towards that side. But when my career led me to the service and the technical side, I found that we lacked a lot of that energy. Most of the facilitators, doesn't matter which company you choose, they generally train by lecture or very passive approach. So when I first came over to this side, I even found myself getting lost in some of the technical aspects of the material because everything is just a lecture. So the trainers, you know, they're all very well versed. And if you were to take them aside, ask them specific questions, they're happy to answer them for you. But that doesn't necessarily translate all the time to good engaging training. The majority of these trainers wanted to teach by doing it for them or just tell them everything that was in their heads all at one time. And I was seeing more of this, you know, old tech story approach to training, where somebody who was a tech in the field became a trainer, wanted to talk about how they fixed a really difficult situation, like back in the 80s and 90s. And although it was a great story, after a few iterations, it actually became pretty entertaining, but I didn't learn anything that could help me today, you know, except for that one specific instance that they described. Even though they were amazing techs and understood the concepts extremely well, it doesn't always translate to a quality facilitator. So after realizing this, we wanted to help our trainers expand their approach to how they train. I have an amazing team that are extremely intelligent and masters of their crafts, but not one of them had any kind of formal training or education themselves on how to be an effective facilitator. So we had to take a train the trainer approach on facilitation skills. We brought in some instructional designers that helped show them different approaches to training, like directive, exploratory, guided help. We talked about the different ways that adults learn and how mixing a few adult learning methods together actually helps aid with knowledge transfer. You know, we showed them that they just shouldn't do the work and then turn around and expect the learner to do it perfectly. Instead, split up the instructions into objectives, then let them fail in a safe environment, and then learn from those mistakes. It's a much more effective approach to understand why you failed and then discuss the failure points so that you can avoid them in the future. I tell everyone I'd rather them break my stuff in training than break a customer's product not knowing what they're doing. So that sort of freedom really helps relieve the stress of a formal classroom and allows for better knowledge transfer, retention, along with engagement. However, we did find there was a bit of a challenge. We found that it was extremely difficult for most of our trainers to actually adopt this approach because they were giving up that structured lecture environment. And there's this illusion of releasing that control that they had for years in order to make it a more inviting environment for the learner. So it took a lot of patience. It took a lot of time. But we see in our assessments and in our surveys that it's a better strategy overall for our industry. And to give my trainers a lot of credit, they all bought into this approach and even admitted that they can see the difference in the abilities of the techs over time.
Yeah, I believe it. Like, you know, humans are such individual creatures that we all kind of like learn differently, but you know, and think things through differently or challenges differently. And so it's very easy for someone who's been doing it for a long time to be like, oh, it's obviously you go about it like this way, you know, yeah. But it's like, it's not that obvious to every other person. So
and that's exactly what was happening. It was oh, this one approach and, you know, hey, just do whatever I'm telling you to do and you'll be fine. Well, a lot of people need to hear it again or hear it a different way or do something different. Yeah. So.
Absolutely. With the rise of remote work and virtual collaboration, I don't know how much this touches kind of who you are training and working with on a daily basis, obviously, because it's such a hands-on actual job. But with the rise of remote work and virtual collaboration, how has your approach to learning and development adapted at all?
Yeah, it actually has. We've taken virtual training very seriously right off the bat, especially through COVID and still ongoing. I think that it's not going to go away. It's quick, easy for the learner, easy to schedule time when you don't have to travel long distances. And what we found is in shorter sessions, it can be very, very effective. So the big thing, though, that I would recommend to your listeners and to everybody is to have your trainers or your facilitators go through a virtual facilitation training. We signed up for the ATD virtual facilitation training. I thought it was extremely effective. Mm-hmm. Our learners are definitely much happier with the engagement that we can incorporate into our training. And I think that they were worried, you know, kind of, you don't really think about service training as a virtual way. And they were worried that it was just going to be a video or it was just going to be a recorded lecture, you know, because that's what they're used to. And we've actually had a couple of our customers ask us for just give us a recording. And we politely say, why? Mm-hmm. And show them that we can create a better engagement through a live approach. You can do so much more with these different platforms that are available out there now. So I would strongly suggest anybody, it does not matter which industry they're in, put some time into have your team become effective virtual trainers, because it definitely pays off.
Yeah, absolutely. How does it, you've kind of like mentioned how, you know, you've addressed some of the challenges that the trainers may have or that you've identified. But how in general do you identify and address skills gaps within the organization?
Yeah, so this is sometimes easy for us, just because we can give out assessments or we can just look at broad data to determine trends that are going on within our company or even the industry. Those are usually the easier, you know, gaps to find. Our team does a lot of digging, though, to try to find root causes, because it's comes to the point of, well, this is happening. Well, why is it happening? And you need to figure out, you know, all the way down why this is an issue. Those type of problems, they take a lot of analysis. They take a lot of time, but they're extremely rewarding for our team to discover them. And I'll kind of give you an example of one. So as I said before, we have a lot of trainers or facilitators around the industry who are ex-techs, and they took more of a passive approach to training and essentially like to lecture. Well, if you ever talk with technicians, they are a wealth of knowledge, but they also love to find shortcuts on how to repair components and products. Sometimes that's good. Everyone just wants to find an easier way to do the job, but a lot of times, sometimes it'll backfire. In our industry, we found that those shortcuts were fundamentally hurting us. We noticed that there was a very obvious gap of basic technical knowledge, how electricity works, how to read a wiring diagram, how to even your meter works. If you survey the top appliance service companies on what they need technical help with, the majority will say basic electricity and theory of operation is at the top of their lists. And I truly believe that this is a direct result of two things. One, that sort of lecture style training that has been going on for years in our industry, which allows the learner to sort of zone out or get information overload, which then results with the lack of knowledge retention. Or two, on the job training from experienced techs to new techs who mainly just show them shortcuts that they found. And then the worst would be the combination of those two things, where you have an ex-tech that's a trainer now, and all they want to do is just train on shortcuts. You know, you miss all of those fundamentals that are necessary for the development of that student. That can work in our industry. If you see or hear this symptom, you know, 9 times out of 10, it'll be this part or this issue, and you know, it can be an easy fix. But it's that 1 time out of 10 that'll require time and patience to follow a wiring diagram all the way through, do voltage checks and ohm readings to see what the root cause of the problem is. And if a tech only learns shortcuts and not basic diagnostic knowledge, it can potentially lead them down a path of what we call becoming a parts changer, who will just struggle when something outside the norm shows up. So from this finding, we've really stressed our basic diagnostic and electrical theory curriculum with everyone, kind of going back to the basics. And what my facilitators and the IDs are doing is they go back to those programs or curricula frequently to update them. And then we add micro subjects in order to expand the depth of knowledge for the learner, or it at least gives us the opportunity to expand the amount of content that we have in order to help the learner fully understand the concepts. You know, that's our underlying continuous improvement mindset at play.
That's incredible. And so I feel like that, you know, obviously you're dealing with something like very technical and specific, but I feel like that can apply to, you know, so many different industries where it's like go the of like teaching the essentials and going back to the basics. So thank you so much.
I actually find myself in my personal life kind of doing the exact same thing and following the exact same philosophy. So
I love that. You know, thinking about kind of the industry in general, as the workplace continues to evolve, how do you see the future of L&D changing? Like, do you see any kind of trends or emerging technologies that you think are going to shape the way that, you know, organizations in L&D or in your space specifically will kind of change?
Yeah. So, in my experience, you know, service training manager, instructor-led training, I think, is always going to be the highly preferred way to learn for learners. That's what they keep on asking for. Hands-on is always a must, all of that kind of stuff. But I do think that there are newer opportunities with computer-based training in LMS systems that could help us and also be game changers. There's some interactive courses that have sort of a choose your own adventure layout for the learner. This essentially jumps us into gamification, which can allow the learner to discover or explore different things at their own pace, even learn by failing in a safe environment that could be repeated again and again. You know, we call that the Super Mario approach. Augmented reality, virtual reality, they can play a big role too. I think augmented reality more than virtual, just because it would be easier for remote learners to use their phones instead of expensive goggles, load up an app or program, hit a few things, learn about you know, different service environments out there. You know, I don't think anything here is groundbreaking at this time. There's a lot of work being done in these areas already. So that might be disappointing to your listeners that I don't have any space-aged ideas, you know, ready to go. I realize these things are already talked about, you know. Essentially they're kind of fantasized about too, but honestly, in my opinion and in what I've seen, I don't think that they're executed perfectly yet. Everything that I've seen has its bugs, or maybe was launched prematurely for a variety of reasons, or actually just requires a lot of investment in programs, hardware, people, things like that, that even the larger corporations can't afford the larger price tags that they come with, because it's a sharp change in strategy to bring something like this into your organization. You know, and it definitely doesn't happen overnight. So it's difficult for L&D organizations to get ahead of the technology. So many of us are just playing catch up, you know? So I think maybe a different way to answer your question then, what I think the best thing that companies can do to help shape the future is to take time to look at their employees within their own organization and help them expand their skill sets. Ask them this question, where they think the company is going to evolve, and then really listen to their answers. I was actually able to do this with a few of my IDs, and I was very pleased, somewhat shocked at the response I got from them. These are usually creative people to begin with. So if you allow them to be creative with their responsibilities and their learning paths, they become more engaged. They buy in, they bring innovative ideas that will probably change your long-term. I'm not even gonna say probably, it will change your long-term strategy, you know, for the better. That was my experience, at least. I believe that technology is going to keep on expanding. So it might be better for a manager or a leader to kind of see past some of the fluff around it, but allow your team to explore it and bring these ideas to you. You know, let them be the filter, get out of the way while encouraging them to dig deeper. I truly believe that you're going to get a better result if you take that approach rather than chase the bright and shiny thing. And it'll allow your employees to evolve into new projects, into new roles that keep them engaged long-term.
That's such a great insight there. And I think something that can be applied again, like to everything, because especially someone sitting at like one level is like, oh, this tool will be like super cool for this. And then you're like, hey, and then it's like, okay, they take that and are like, we're going to use this tool and do this and this and this with it. And it's going to be great. But then when you're actually like teaching that to another group or another level or whatever of folks, then you're like, okay, this is how we're going to do it. And then someone could have the like very simple thing of like, well, why wouldn't we use something like that for X, Y, and Z? Because those are our biggest challenges. And that's like what we need to do. Or why aren't we getting it to it? Like that wasn't a huge challenge of ours that we needed to be solved. Why wouldn't we find something that solves like X, Y, and Z challenge or whatever?
Yeah. And it's so easy to like kind of go down the rabbit hole on some of this stuff, because they are bright and shiny. They're amazing technologies that are coming out all the time. Yeah. So if you get tunnel vision on it, you know, imagine what your team's going to be doing. So have them bring it to you, and then you can play, you know, the chess pieces wherever they lay. Yeah.
No, I love that. I love that. As kind of a fun send off, what advice would you give to those just stepping into a leadership role?
So first off, I'm very flattered that anybody would actually listen to me for advice. So that's awesome. For a new leader that's coming out, I would probably say have patience, but move quickly. You know, as quick as you can. I say this a lot to my team, so I'm sure that they'd roll their eyes and laugh if they heard this. But there's a saying out there: don't let best get in the way of better. I probably say that weekly to somebody on my team. But essentially, if you wait around trying to get something perfect, the industry and the work is going to overwhelm you. And then it's just going to pass you by. So make incremental improvements, be excited for something to just be better than it was before, and then keep progressing forward. It will take some time, but you'll notice an overall improvement in the work coming from your organization and the mindset as well, if you maintain that continuous improvement philosophy.
I love that. What a great philosophy to take to like to life too, you know. Don't let best get in the way of better. Like and be excited about that things are better, you know. It's so true. We get like so like I need this, or like this is like ultimately what I have to have, and it's like okay, but like if you're just a little bit better than you were like then, like isn't that a good enough? Or like celebrate that now because life is short.
Celebrate those little things. They're great.
Exactly. Mark, thank you so much for your time and for joining us on the NovoEd Talks podcast today. It was an absolute pleasure having you on.
Oh, thank you so much.
And thank you to our listeners for once again tuning in.